Greetings, everyone. Welcome to the JS Online and Packers News Packers Podcast. A mouthful for your host, Tom Silverstein of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. It's Wednesday. It's been really hard for me to figure out what day it is this week because the Packers had a screwy schedule, practicing on Sunday and Monday, and also having some access on Tuesday, and I've been confused about what day it is all week. Not too unusual for me. But we are one day away from the Packers playing exhibition game number 2 against the Pittsburgh Steelers at Lambeau Field. We know Packers won the first game against the Tennessee Titans, 31-17, and there was a list of players who didn't play in that game as long as the complaints I get for this podcast. Just kidding. It was a really, really long list of players, and I think it will be different this time around. McCarthy is probably going to play a good amount of starters, including quarterback Aaron Rodgers. This will probably be the one game that Rodgers plays this year, preseason game that is, and I think it's not a bad idea. You could hold him out the whole camp, but I think with some of the additions to the offense, some of the changes with the offense they've made, I think you got to let him play and let him really kind of work off some of the rust from last year. I mean, last year, he did not play a lot of football last year. And I think it's going to be good for him to get in the pocket, do a little bit of running, get hit maybe. I know that a big key to whether he plays will be if left tackle David Bakhtiari is able to play. He's been out with an ankle injury, but he returned this week, and all signs seemed to point to him playing. Well, I thought I would take a look, or at least give you an idea of what I would be looking for in the game against the Steelers. I like to pick out a few things and make sure that I'm watching them, but also kind of keep an open mind because I don't want to be stuck on something and something else happens and I miss it. You got to kind of balance that when you're watching games. Plus, I'm running the live blog and a lot of time I'm looking down and I'm missing things. So I'll try to look up and maybe focus on a single player or a certain part of the game going on. So here are the things that I would be interested in seeing. I think everyone is going to be interested in seeing Jimmy Graham play with Aaron Rodgers. We've seen glimpses of it in practice. On Tuesday, Graham made a great one-handed catch from Rodgers in the corner of the end zone, kind of stuff you figure this is why they signed Jimmy Graham for $10 million a year, because the guy is big. He's, when you get into the red zone, he's difficult to cover. He's still pretty athletic, and he can jump over DBs like nobody's business. So this is kind of what I think we'll see. I remember last year they did the same thing with Martellus Bennett. I know they got him out matched up against a DB and threw him a fade into the end zone. I think that was against Washington. I look for them to highlight Graham early on with Rodgers. Just call a few plays that'll get them going together. Rodgers feels like they have a pretty good chemistry so far. But it can always be better, and it will be better as time goes on. And so that's something to keep an eye on, whether they force it into Graham or whether they just run the offense like it's supposed to be run. I don't expect Rodgers to be rusty. He's had plenty of practice time. I don't think jitters will be an issue. I think he'll probably play one or two series and then get out and then they'll go to the backups. Another person that I will be looking at specifically is inside linebacker Oren Burks. And here's why this is important. When Jake Ryan went down, it wasn't that Jake Ryan was going to play a ton of football. It's that he was available with lots of knowledge and experience and the ability to play on early downs in the run game. Burks, I think, was tagged as a specialty player to start with. And now that Ryan's out, Burks is a starter next to Blake Martinez. And they liked what they saw of Burks in the opener, but only athletically. He had some mistakes, some mental errors, probably didn't play the run as well as they would have liked. But the one thing you could see, and this is part of the reason they drafted him in the third round, was that he can cover a lot of ground. Big, long arms, so he's tough in coverage, and he can move. He can chase guys. And so I think what I want to see this week is whether he can stick his face in there and take on guards and tackles and play in the run game. That's ultimately going to be his test. I think they will find a way to get him on the field on passing downs, but if they can't stop the run with him, I just don't see, as much as I've been impressed with Ahmad Thomas and even Greer Martini, I don't see them being able to survive. They're going to have to pick someone up if Burks does not handle the assignments with playing the run. I mean, it's a different deal being up close to the line of scrimmage and having to take on 320-pound offensive linemen. So keep an eye on him. Another guy on defense that has been intriguing me is Josh Jackson. Now, in the early part of camp, Jair Alexander, the first-round pick, was receiving all the attention, all the playing time. Jackson was slipped in there. You know, he obviously was working, but he wasn't working that much with the ones. Of late, so Alexander pulled a groin muscle and missed most of last week. And so Jackson got a lot of valuable reps, particularly in the slot, where he had to play up at the line of scrimmage. He's not used to doing that. At Iowa, he was an off-ball corner, and a lot of people downgraded him because he was what they thought was a zone corner and would have trouble in bump and run, which is kind of surprising, kind of surprised me that the Packers took him. But I asked Mike Pettine about him on Tuesday, and Pettine said that he really thinks Jackson has made some strides in being an all-around player. Here's Pettine on Jackson.
I thought he played well. It's, you know, you get with certain guys and you're like, is it going to be too big for him? And I think that's where family night helped to kind of get under the lights in front of the crowd. So I think for a lot of our guys, the jitters were gone, and Josh certainly falls into that category. I mean, he showed flashes of what he can do, and it carried over from the practice field. He's been very productive in practice, and he's not a guy who's afraid to try some different techniques. He hasn't played a lot of press. He hasn't played a lot of inside. You know, the people just categorized him coming out as, hey, he's an off the ball. He's an off corner. And he's shown us that he's very versatile, and he's a quick study, and we foresee him being able to play multiple positions for us.
Thank you.
So keep an eye on him. He's going to get a lot of playing time. Alexander, I don't know if he's going to play. He only took a few reps in practice this week. They may not want to stress that groin muscle. Probably try to keep him healthy and get him ready for the Raiders game. Then he can get in two good games. I think that'll probably be the way they go. More than likely, you'll see House and Tremont Williams starting. I don't think Kevin King's going to play. He didn't take any team reps this week, so I think they'll hold off on him. He's nursing that shoulder injury that he really won't tell us what it is. So Secondary, yes, keep an eye on Josh Jackson. There's a lot of other moving parts going on there, but he's really a guy that has a chance to move up the depth chart. Okay, also in the category of guys who are kind of long shots to make the roster, there's two guys who kind of intrigue me a little bit. One is the tight end Robert Tonyan, undrafted free agent. He went to college to play quarterback, transferred to wide receiver, and then came to the Packers, was signed to the practice squad, and has been a tight end. He's 237 pounds. I think he's about 6'5". And he's really a big wide receiver, not unlike Jimmy Graham. I mean, he's not the athlete that Jimmy Graham is, but this kid can run, and he is able to be a factor in the red zone, sort of like Graham. He's tall target, and when you see him get matched up with linebackers, he's got a pretty good chance of winning that matchup. His hands have been pretty good. The key there is, can he block? And I asked Joe Philbin about that on Tuesday, and Philbin said that he's not afraid to stick his nose in there. He is aggressive. He will go after it. You just have to wonder, at 237 pounds, you know, Mercedes Lewis at 6'6 is listed at 279 maybe, and some of the players think he's closer to 290. He's a big, big man, and Tanyan's given up 40, 50 pounds to Lewis. And so I really think he's kind of a developmental guy, but it's entirely possible they could keep him, let Manuel Byrd go, and keep Graham, Lewis, Kendricks, and Tanyan. But if you keep four tight ends, then you probably lose a wide receiver. So it may just be that he's there for the practice squad. But keep an eye on him, number 85. Interesting guy. Another is Greer Martini, a inside linebacker who comes from Notre Dame. And really keep an eye on him on special teams. He almost immediately, from the start of training camp, was with the number ones. And I watched him last week against Tennessee, and the guy knows how to play special teams, which is kind of interesting because he was a starter at Notre Dame, but he played special teams, all four units. And that's pretty unusual for college guys. Usually they don't play special teams. They're starters and, you know, younger guys play special teams. But it's really clear that he knows how to play. And you can make a roster playing special teams. He's a big guy, tall, carries a little bit of a weight behind him, but he's probably going to be in the right place at the right time, and he's going to hit you. And I think he could be an asset there. So we'll keep an eye on him. I don't know if he can help him at inside linebacker. He's very green there. He's more of the run-stopping guy than Burks is, so it's always possible they could keep him for that reason. I also wanted to look at a few other guys that you might be interested in. We have not said much about Vince Beagle, the outside linebacker from Wisconsin, and I think that's because really Reggie Gilbert has been the surprise contributor at outside linebacker with Nick Perry out. He's really, really benefited from Perry being out. And Gilbert has shown some real natural pass rush ability. He's put on weight over the last 2 years being on the practice squad. And Vince Beagle, I just haven't seen a whole lot from. You just don't see a lot in practice and don't see a lot in the games. And whether that's because he's still kind of raw, he missed all of training camp last year, played just some, he's got to start flashing pretty soon, because if he wants to make the team, it's not a guarantee that he'll be there. So he needs to have a big game, and we'll be keeping an eye on him. A few noteworthy things. Perry talked on Tuesday and said that he's getting pretty close to a return. Sort of like Bulaga, he's waiting for the doctors to give him the go-ahead. He feels he's ready. They just want to be cautious. They don't want him to come back, have swelling, then have to sit again. They want to make sure that when he does come back, he's back all the way. I think they're just shooting for the season opener. I doubt he'll play any preseason football. But they do need to get him on the practice field for the last 2 weeks, and I think they will start him out next week. And then it'll be interesting to see what his role is going to be. I think Pettine's going to find different ways to use him because of his size, his ability to play the edge, and the pass rush ability. I think he's their best pass rusher now. I think he's surpassed Clay Matthews. Is the guy they want to set up on the outside. Another guy that got talked about a lot this week was Trevor Davis, the wide receiver who's out with a hamstring injury. He's been out almost 2 weeks, and it kind of seemed like he was being left behind. But I asked Ron Zook about him on Tuesday, and Zook basically said he lacks no confidence. And let's not make that a double negative. He's completely confident in Trevor Davis's return ability, that he wants Davis to be his returner. He thinks he's special. I don't think he feels like him missing time is affecting him at all. The problem there is that he's got to win a receiver spot, and you're already talking about Devontae Adams, Randall Cobb, Geronimo Allison. You know, I think Cobb and Adams are locks. Allison's a good bet. And I think Jake Kumerow has a decent chance. Then you got the three rookies, Jamon Moore, Marquez Valdez-Scantling, and Equanimeous St. Brown. So right there, you're talking about seven wide receivers. And maybe one of those doesn't make it, but then you got Trevor Davis. So they're not going to keep eight receivers. I don't think so, unless they count Davis as a special teams guy. But then you probably can't keep another solely linebacker type, or you can't keep a fourth tight end, maybe even not a third tight end. So that's something that'll have to come down to the 53-man roster. Zook is going to try Alexander if Alexander's up, if and when Alexander is up. So we'll see that at some point. So that's going to be where I stop. And I want to encourage you to come to the live blog. You can access that on jsonline.com or packersnews.com. We'll be going from the start of the game to the finish, and I'll be answering questions, giving you my analysis, and pointing out game-by-game stuff so that for those of you who can't see the game, you'll have some idea of what's going on. In addition, for the next podcast, and it's going to be Friday morning, I'd like to take some questions. If you can't get your questions in on the live blog, send them to me through Facebook. I have a page on Facebook. It's called Tom Silverstein, Packers Beat Reporter, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. You could just do that search, and I will answer questions as long as you post them during the game or after the game, and answer them here on the podcast on Friday. So I hope you'll do that, or at least tune into the live blog, because we have a lot of fun. It's really I hope it's a good experience. You get a chance to follow the game and also get some instant analysis and have your questions answered. So with that, I will go to the music, and we will see you next time.